The Oregon legislature just passed a bill to outlaw the practice of conversion therapy on minors. You've probably heard of the therapy. It's a process meant to convert homosexuals into heterosexuals. Its supporters also call it reparative therapy, as in homosexuals need to be repaired through such therapy. You can see why it's so controversial. The final passage of House Bill 2307 sends it along to Oregon Governor Kate Brown, who is expected to sign it. Let's talk about what the bill covers with some of the organizations that support it. Jenna Frazzini is the co-director at Basic Rights Oregon, one of our guests today. Welcome, Jenna.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here. And Samantha Ames joins us as well. She is the staff attorney for the National Center for Lesbian Rights. Welcome, Samantha.
Thank you so much for having me, Jeff.
Can we start with you, Samantha? I want to get some idea of how widespread conversion therapy is across the country and what it purports to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually very difficult to get numbers, but I'll tell you what it purports to do is very simple. It's any set of treatments or practices designed to change the sexual orientation or gender identity of a person, usually a child. So that includes lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender children. And it's very difficult to get numbers, but the numbers that we do have are pretty staggering. Experts estimate that as many as 1 in 3 LGBT people have been subjected to some form of conversion therapy or another, whether that's in a doctor's office or a church basement or even a camp.
And why is it so difficult to get numbers?
It's difficult to get numbers in part because actually doing some of the experiments to get the data would be difficult. First of all, we have very little data when it comes to LGBT people across the population. We've only very recently started to collect numbers on this. And conversion therapy up until the last few years has been something that people didn't really think was still going on. Part of the reason that number is so high, that 1 in 3 number can be so alarming, is that you don't hear this talked about very often. And there's a really good reason for that. These practices are deeply traumatic. They can cause lifelong harm, and it can take years, sometimes decades, before people can even talk about it.
And is there a religious component to it as well, or is it generally just a sort of a psychotherapeutic sort of approach?
You know, it varies, and the lines do blur. So there is pure doctor's office therapist saying sexual orientation or gender identity that is not heterosexual and cisgender is disordered and can be cured. There is that. That can exist completely alone from religion. There is also the church basement where people who are unlicensed, who are not counselors, or even sometimes who are Christian counselors, are using techniques that they have learned through camps, through things like Love in Action or the No Longer Around Exodus International, to try to, quote-unquote, pray the gay away, thinking that if you are truly committed enough, if you just pray enough, if you just want it enough, that you can be cured of your core identity, which is just completely destructive and untrue.
Jenna Frazzini at Basic Rights Oregon, what do we know about the practice of conversion therapy in the state of Oregon?
Well, we heard from quite a few survivors of this therapy as we took this journey the last few years to ban the practice through our state legislature. A lot of folks came forward to share their stories with decision makers. We've seen folks who are now in adulthood who still carry the scars and the pain from having gone through this in their younger years. And we also heard from young people college age who have been subjected to the practice just in recent years. So we know that it had continued, and we're just very grateful for the leadership of our legislature for getting the bill passed so smoothly.
Is it something that we believe happens more often with young people because parents or other concerned people are trying to set them aright as they may view?
Yes, we believe it is more common with young people as families grapple with youth who are coming out younger and younger. We also know that many of the practitioners of conversion therapy target families and children with their marketing and so forth. And we also know that, you know, oftentimes folks get pulled into conversion therapy simply when they're seeking support. They're not necessarily looking to change their child. They're simply looking to understand their emerging identities. And so we wanted it to be very clear that if you're practicing, you know, under Oregon laws as a licensed practitioner, that families can expect certain things from those practitioners, that they won't be offering these outdated and dangerous therapies.
Our discussion topic is conversion therapy banned for minors in Oregon by House Bill 2307, now passed by both houses of the state legislature, sent along to Governor Kate Brown for signature. Jennifer Zini is the co-director at Basic Rights Oregon, and Samantha Ames is the staff attorney for the National Center for Lesbian Rights. You can join this discussion at 800-838-3760, anywhere you can hear us. Or you can send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. Jenna, what is the general line of contents of the bill, House Bill 2307?
The bill just generally specifies that under Oregon law, if you are a licensed mental health provider or medical provider, that you are prohibited from offering conversion therapies to minors in the state of Oregon. And it is built off of the policy positions that have been taken by every major medical and mental health association in this country, some of which have, the statements have dated back more than two decades. So this has long been recognized as, you know, as a practice that is not appropriate. We're now clarifying that under Oregon law.
Is it true that there's only one place in Oregon that even offers such therapy at this point, Jenna?
I don't know that to be true. We have heard from folks who have received various forms of conversion therapies from numerous sources in the state.
All right, so more than one. I did notice that there was a billboard for reparative therapy. It looks like somewhere in the Salem area. Maybe I'm looking at the wrong thing here. But anyway, it was in the Statesman Journal in Salem. Let's put it that way. Samantha Ames, expand, if you would, on the point that Jenna just talked about the view from the psychiatric powers that be about conversion therapy.
Yeah, I mean, every major medical and mental health association in the country has come out and condemned these practices as ineffective and very likely harmful. You know, I run a national campaign called Born Perfect, and in that campaign, we go around the country and we work with states. We work with state groups like Jenna's on drafting the right legislation for their state. But the original legislation was drafted in California, and it was done in this unprecedented way, very, very deeply entwined with the mental health community, with practitioners, with organizations. These bills wouldn't be possible not only without their support and deep involvement throughout the process, but also the industry actively asking to be regulated, saying we believe in what we do enough that we do not want it misused to harm people.
All right, so you're saying you had the support of all the psychiatric powers that be?
Very much so. And at every hearing they come out, they are deeply supportive, and they are big cheerleaders of ours.
And so California, Oregon now joins it, and is Washington, D.C. the only other place that's passed such a bill at this point?
And New Jersey.
New Jersey as well, okay. Mm-hmm. So three states and the District of Columbia. And are there moves afoot to introduce this in other legislatures?
There are. This year alone, just in 2015, 18 states have introduced legislation to do something similar, to ban the practice of conversion therapy by licensed mental health professionals on minors under 18.
All right. Jennifer Zini, you used the term survivors earlier to talk about the people who've been through through conversion therapy. Explain the use of that term, please.
The use of the term survivor?
Yeah.
Well, we have seen in the anecdotally and in some of the literature that the impacts of this kind of therapy can lead to depression. It contributes to higher rates of suicide among LGBT youth. And many of the survivors that we've spoken to talked about their own despair and the ways in which what they went into therapy to try and address, whether it was depression or anxiety, that because the treatment drove them further into depression and anxiety, that it, you know, it is, I think, appropriate to refer to folks as having survived something that was very traumatic, to have gone through therapies that are telling you that there is something inherently wrong with who you are and that can and should be fixed. And for some folks, hoping for a fix that never comes became its own you know, its own form of pain, and further marginalized folks.
Was there concern, Jenna, that the practice would become more widespread in Oregon?
You know, I think we did have some concerns. There was actually a national conference in Oregon last spring of conversion therapy practitioners. and to see that kind of thing in your state, knowing how dangerous the practice is, was very concerning to us. And so we not only wanted to address those concerns, but ensure that it was very clear that if you are licensed to practice medicine, to practice, to be a mental health provider in the state of Oregon, that the state policy is that this is unacceptable and an unacceptable therapeutic approach.
We were talking about the bill that bans conversion therapy, so-called conversion therapy, for minors in the state of Oregon, with Jennifer Zini, the co-director of Basic Rights Oregon, and Samantha Ames, the staff attorney for the National Center for Lesbian Rights. You can still join this conversation on The Exchange. Our phone number here is 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760. And our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Samantha Ames, is there a particular therapeutic approach that is certainly embraced within the psychiatric community about how people who are having gender issues and sexuality issues should be dealing with them when they're young?
Yeah, absolutely. So the primary work on this is done by Dr. Caitlin Ryan at the Family Acceptance Project at the University of California, San Francisco. And what it tells us is that family acceptance and affirmation is key. LGBTQ kids need what all kids need, the support and acceptance of their families. And it has huge mitigating potential. Kids who feel rejected by their parents, rejected by their families and communities, are 8 times more likely to attempt suicide. They have dramatically higher rates of depression, of substance abuse, and as we know all too well, of violence against themselves. So what we do know is that we have a very clear path toward keeping these kids safe and healthy, and it starts right at home. It starts with the family.
So what sorts of recommendations are made for families where they're not attempting to get conversion therapy or anything like that, but they're just, you know, the parents may not be dealing well with this? I mean, what's the recommended approach there?
I mean, that's a great question, because the key to this is that most parents who send their kids to conversion therapy don't do it because they hate them. They do it because they love them, and they're genuinely scared for their future, and they don't necessarily know what to do when their child comes out to them. What I would say, and what this bill really sends the message to parents about, is that your kid is born perfect, and what you can do to protect them, which we know you want to do, is go seek out an LGBTQ-affirming therapist, somebody who has experience in the areas of sexual orientation and gender identity. Educate yourself. Look into the research. See what works for your kid. The Born Perfect website is a great place to start. nclrights.org/bornperfect has a ton of resources, including the Family Acceptance Project. And the Family Acceptance Project has a lot of literature and brochures and very easily accessible materials for parents and families who are facing just that struggle, who love their kid and don't know what to do, what is in their best interest when they come out to them.
Is this case a lot easier to make over time, Samantha, given the fact that we have all the polls showing that the acceptance, for example, of same-sex marriage is much broader than it used to be just a few years ago?
I mean, you would think, but just a few years ago, the American Psychological Association did a report on conversion therapy citing a resurgence in the practices. So while we are winning on marriage, our work is not nearly done, especially for the most vulnerable members of our population.
So Jennifer Zini at Basic Rights Oregon, tell us about the process of getting this bill through the houses of the legislature and what sorts of obstacles arose along the way.
Sure. Well, you know, I think the thing that we wanted to make sure was a part of that effort was the stories of those who've been impacted by conversion therapy remained front and center. And I will tell you that it was difficult to identify folks who'd been subjected to conversion therapy who were willing and able to share their stories. A number of folks just felt that, you know, that it was something that they did not want to relive.
And so you could find the people, you just couldn't get them to testify.
The stories were somewhat difficult to find. Again, this is not something that is out in the open. It's not something that folks talk about. We did do outreach and let folks in the community know that we were looking for people that would be willing to share their personal stories, and quite a few people did respond to that, and we were able to work with them and support them, support them in sharing their stories. And a lot of this, it's been very emotional and very moving, and in some ways very empowering for these individuals to you know, to speak about how this has impacted them and the lifelong impacts of having been, you know, having been subjected to different forms of conversion therapy. So that was a big, has been a big part of our approach. And then spending time with those folks and others in the community, meeting one-on-one with legislators and advocating for the change. We've had hearings in both houses, in the House of Representatives and the Senate, and then, of course, the votes that were bipartisan. We had bipartisan support and overwhelming majorities in both houses as well. So we feel very optimistic about the governor signing the bill within the next couple of weeks.
Now, I see it applies only to licensed mental or social health care professionals and only to therapy given to children under 18. What are the penalties under it?
Samantha, do you actually, can you take that one?
Samantha Ames?
I'm sorry?
Do you know what the penalties are under the Oregon bill?
Yeah, the penalties are the same as any other bill. Basically, it is left in the hands of the state licensing board, which is made up of mental health professionals, to do the discipline. It can be up to the loss of a license, but it really is up to the people who know this industry best to regulate themselves.
All right. We will see what the governor does with it. She is expected to sign it, although her office has given no clear indication of that. Jennifer Zini is the co-director of Basic Rights Oregon. Samantha Ames, the staff attorney for the National Center for Lesbian Rights. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks so much for having us.
You bet.
Thank you.